We talked about loving your husband. Sometimes you're going to feel like loving him. Sometimes you're not going to feel like it. But we can obey God whether we feel like it or not, and do the right thing whether we feel like it or not. And I entitled, we're doing the biblical submission lecture this time instead of the respecting your husband. We'll do that, Lord willing, in the third breakout session. So let's pray and get started. Our Father, we do ask you to bless this lesson, to help us to understand our responsibility, and that our submission to you, and therefore our submission, rightly submitted to our husbands, will honor you and glorify you. And help us to understand this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One time, years ago, I was teaching a ladies' Bible study class, and there was a young woman in there, and she and her husband weren't getting along very well, and so she would have questions, and she was kind of hostile, really, and I would try to answer her questions. And then we had a Christmas party that year for the church, an adult Christmas party, and her husband came up to me, and he had a question. And I knew his name, he knew my name. We would say hello on Sunday morning, but we never had a conversation. And he said, "I have a question. My wife is in your ladies' Bible study class, and she said she has to be submissive, but she doesn't have to like it." And I'm like, he said, "Is that what you think when you think about being submissive to your husband?" And I said, "No, really, it's my joy." And he said, "I thought so." And I said, "Well, I think what I said, there will be times when your husband wants you to be submissive in a certain area, or maybe purchasing a new sofa, I don't know, whatever. And we do it, we can appeal, we should make our opinion known, and then, but the bottom line is that we will put ourselves under the authority of our husband unless he's asking us to sin. So it's our joy because we love our Lord." So anyway, there's a lot of confusion about the wife's submission to her husband. My mother read the Excellent Wife book. She's gone to be with the Lord now, but when she read the book, she said, "I don't think the girls are going to like this book." I said, "I don't think they will either. I don't like it myself at some points." She was talking about the submission chapters. She said, "Things have changed over the years, and the feminist movement, modern feminist movement, has come in, and it is very... women are liberated in maybe not a good way these days." So, there are two wrong approaches to the issue of submission. One is the feminist philosophy, and one is asceticism. The feminist philosophy, Colossians 2, starting in verse 18. Let me find it. Colossians 2, starting in verse 18. It says, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind." Now, the self-abasement means the more you suffer, the more holy you think you are. "Not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. But if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as 'do not handle, do not taste, do not touch,' which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men? These have matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion." The more you suffer, the more holy you must be, "and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." And then 1 Peter 3 and verse 17. So a lot of people think the more they suffer in a bad marriage, the more holy they must be. That's not necessarily true, depending on what you're thinking, how you're responding to God. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 17, "For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong." So if we're going to have to suffer, let's suffer because we're doing what is right. And then another wrong approach to submission is asceticism. The more you suffer, the more holy you are. So when I was working on the Excellent Wife book and working on the submission chapters, I came up with 5 biblical principles on submission. And the first principle is a wife is to be submissive to her husband in all things unless he asks her to sin. All right, so in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22 through 24, says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." So here's the wife, here's the husband in authority over her, but God is the highest authority over both of them. So the wife is to be submissive to her husband in all things unless he asks her to sin. Now that word submission is the Greek word hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. And it's hupo means to be under, and tasso means to be put in order. So it's a military term, it's a ranking to put in order. It does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband. In fact, the wife may be superior to her husband. She, in a lot of ways, she may be more intelligent. She may be better looking. She may be a better organizer. She may be a better Christian But Romans 2 and verse 11, it's talking about Greeks and Jews, and it says there is no partiality with God. So it doesn't matter to God. Just because we're female doesn't mean we are inferior or lesser Christians. We are not. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life." We are considered by God to be fellow heirs of the grace of life. So that, this is talking to the husband, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So, a wife is to be submissive to her husband in all things, unless he asks her to sin. In Romans 2, let's see, we looked at that. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Paul wrote, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not demand equal rights with the Father, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." So, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, the wife is not inferior to her husband. She is a fellow heir of the grace of life. And then the wife's role in the marriage, in the family, is one of a helper suitable. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, and somebody was just asking me about a question about 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 9, Paul wrote, he said, "For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake." God created Adam, and then Adam was lonely, and God created a helper suitable, or helpmeet, King James says, for him. We know the men need all the help they can get. And so God created Eve for the man. And so this is a hierarchy structure, companion for companionship, for procreation, to have babies, to have families, and to help the husband. The wife's role is one of helper suitable for her husband. This is God's original intent. Christian kind of feminist people today say, this was not, they don't refer back to God's original intent. When they read the New Testament and they refute anything about submission here with the man, the husband and the wife, they say Paul was a male chauvinist and he was just a victim of the Roman culture in his day when the man was the head of the household. But that's not true, because we know in 1 Corinthians 11 and then other Paul's writings, and going back to Genesis, Paul is referring back to the Genesis account. Not, this was God's original intent, not that Paul was a victim of the Roman culture. So that's what that means. And then it says the wife is to be submissive in everything. That means all areas of life, unless her husband is asking her to sin. Now, when I started doing biblical counseling, and then I started making up material to lecture on this topic, and then writing a book, I was very, women would come for counsel and they would say, my husband says I'm sinning if I'm not obedient to him. And I would say, well, give me an example. And she might say, well, he is an unbeliever and he forbids me to go to church, so I can't go to church. And I said, well, in Hebrews 10:25 it says that we are to that's the go to church verse, and therefore that puts you in a position of you have to disobey God in order to obey him. So you need to go back and say to him, that's not something I can do, because God says in Hebrews 10 verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, when of course the Lord is coming back. Another thing that comes up when her husband is asking her to sin, if he forbids her to talk to the children about the Lord. Well, that's tough, especially if you're married to an unbeliever or you're married to somebody who is in a cult and he forbids you to talk to your children about the Lord. In Ephesians 6:1-4, we are told to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So Hebrews 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I think if the wife is married to an unbeliever, she should not be in his face talking about the Lord to the children, but she should tell him, that's not a promise that I can make, that I will never talk to the children about the Lord, because parents are responsible to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Another thing that some husbands ask a wife to do that would be a sin would be to participate in immorality or pornography. This I've heard this a lot in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. It says, well, verse 18 says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, the physical body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, talking about Christ's death on the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So, if the husband wants her to look at dirty movies, dirty pornography, magazines, whatever he is into, then she will have to say, that is not something I could do. I would have to sin against God in order to do that. And then I hear this a lot. The husband forbids her to reprove him, tell him what he's doing wrong, even if he's a Christian and he is sinning. Well, you have to obey me and you can't say a word against me. And some husbands will say, they find out about submission and they'll say, you have to obey me. And I'm telling you, you cannot tell me what I'm doing wrong. You cannot reprove me. Well, that is not a promise that she can make either. Galatians 6, verse 1. A lot of times wives cover up for their husbands. And I knew one wife years ago whose husband had a nasty temper. He was just mean and cruel to her and the children and cursing. And then he was the most popular Sunday school teacher in the whole church. And finally, after years of this going on, she had covered up for him for so long. And then she came to me and said, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, let me tell you what the Bible says to do when your husband is sinning, or anybody is sinning for that matter. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, meaning you who are born again, here's your motive. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So we want to help each other with our sin. We want to help each other become as much like Christ as possible. So if he is an unbeliever, I would not use scripture to reprove him. I would appeal to his conscience to do what's right. It's not right when you're cursing and screaming at the children or you kick the dog or whatever, and you need to stop. But if he's a believer or professes to be a believer, then I would back up what I was saying with scripture. And then if the husband asks her, expects her to cover up for him. And this is Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12 says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed to the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. And then he goes on there, verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So he's talking about, Paul is talking here about just how you live your Christian life. Be careful how you walk. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So whatever he's going to say after this is what it means to being in God's will and walking with the Lord, making the most of your time, being wise, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Dissipation is utter ruin. But be, here's the command, filled with the Spirit. That word filled is pleroo. It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then he starts describing what that looks like in somebody's life. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart. Your heart is just who you are on the inside, what you're thinking, what you're desiring, to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then he gives a general command. Now, he's thinking about being filled, somebody walking with the Lord, being filled with the Spirit, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then that's a general introduction to what he's going to say specifically. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. Okay, so people today, Christian feminists today would say, see, we're to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We're equal in authority. And they just stop reading after they say, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And they need to read the whole chapter in Ephesians and not justify what they're doing, that men or women have to be equal in authority in the home. The husband will, wives struggle against the authority of the husband. One time years ago, I had a counselee come in and she was devastated. She was crying. She had bought an antique sofa and her husband didn't like it. And he said, take it back. Well, you would have thought, he said, take your baby back or something. I don't know. I mean, it was just a sofa. And he didn't like it, but she loved it with all her heart. And so, anyway, I heard her story and helped her dry her tears. And I said, take the sofa back. He doesn't like it. It's okay that he doesn't like it. And then she didn't come back to me for counsel. And I heard through the grapevine that they ended up getting divorced. But that was not the answer to the sofa dilemma, to get a divorce. But sometimes the husband will ask his wife to sin, to cover up for him, forbid her to reprove him, ask her to participate in things that she knows would violate her conscience and violate Scripture, and she will have to respectfully decline and say no. Because being submissive to the husband is part of making the most of your time, not being foolish, and being in God's will, and being careful how you walk. So this is a really critical, I think, passage that just spells out what it is. If the wife is not to be submissive to her husband under this umbrella of be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, then neither are the children supposed to obey their masters. Because starting in chapter 6, and this is the same letter, they didn't have chapter titles in the letter, Paul wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father," which is the first commandment with a promise, "so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So this, he's talking quite a bit about what it means to be filled or controlled by the Spirit. And then it's the husband and wife, and then the children, and then the slaves. So if people would just read the whole thing, they would realize it can't mean that everybody is in equal authority. So a wife is to be submissive to her husband in all things unless he asks her to sin. Now, I've had several women over the years tell me, "Well, I'm a submissive wife. I would never sell our house without my husband's permission." Well, the reason is his name is on the deed, and she can't sell the house without his permission. So, but if you ask the husband, which I don't, but I know enough husbands and enough stories, and I've been involved in enough with another man counselor and counseling with the husband and wife, that he would say, "She contends with me over every little thing." And what happens is a lot of times he'll say, "No, that's not what I think we should do, or that's not what I want to do. I want to do blah, blah, blah." And she just keeps on and on and on until he finally just gives up and gives in. And then she will triumphantly come to me and say, "Well, he gave me permission." Well, you browbeat him into it. So anyway, but the first principle is a wife is to be submissive unless her husband asks her to sin. Secondly, a submissive wife is not afraid to do the right thing. Well, 1 Peter 3 and verse 6. "Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear." We are to biblical key to overcoming fear is love. And then Proverbs 31, this is the excellent wife. Well, it does not quite before the excellent wife, but Proverbs 31, verse 6. Okay, this is not verse 6, because that doesn't make sense. It's about being drunk. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, I have a wrong reference there. All right. Under doing the right thing, a biblical key is overcoming fear is love. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes we are afraid to do the right thing, and we need to look to God and have wisdom and go by what the scripture says. We can make appeals. We certainly should make appeals if we don't agree with the husband, or we just would prefer to do something different than tell him, because he might think your idea is better. I've had a few examples of that in our life where he would want to do something like build a garage or something. I don't know. I'm just making up stuff. But I didn't want a garage. I wanted a back porch or something different. And so I would go to him and say, but before I make an appeal, I say, but whatever you decide, that's what we will do. And then I don't give him a hassle if he decides to do what he wanted to do instead of what I wanted to do. And then I hold my breath to see what he's going to say. And sometimes he'll say, no, I really want to do whatever he was thinking of doing. And it's okay. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not asking me to do anything wrong. And this is a way that I can show love to my husband. But then sometimes he says, oh, well, I don't have my heart set on this. Why don't we do it what you said? And then I'm like, yes. Okay. All right. So a biblical key to overcoming fear is love. We show love to God by thinking right thoughts, God-honoring thoughts, biblical thoughts, Philippians 4, verse 8. Giving biblical reproofs, showing our husbands, if they're Christians, show them in the Bible what it is that they're doing wrong. Be very calm, very clear about your examples of what they're doing wrong. And the issue is, are they going to repent and give God glory? And then we show love to God by exposing the deeds of darkness. In Ephesians 5, verse 11. And we show love to our husbands by not rehearsing over in our minds. And we talked about this last hour, how he has hurt us. If the husband repeatedly disappoints her, she should learn to trust God more, but not necessarily trust her husband. If he's irresponsible with money, or he's partying and drinking and sinning in all these ways, and it's a repeat kind of thing, then she should learn to trust God more. But there are resources in the Bible to protect the wife when her husband is sinning. And then she should learn to think biblically correct thoughts. For example, a wrong thought is, I cannot take this anymore. the right thought would be, this is hard, but God has purpose in it, and He will give me the grace to get through it. So bringing God rightly into her thoughts will give her hope. And then a submissive wife is, a wife is to be submissive even if her husband is not a Christian. And then this is a critical verse. In 1 Peter 3, a lot of people misunderstand this. But Peter is talking about if you are married to an unsaved husband. And he defines that unsaved husband back earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, he's talking about stumbling. In verse 8 he says, "For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word." So he's describing these people as stumbling over the cornerstone, who is Christ, and to this doom they were also appointed. And then a few sentences later, in chapter 3, he says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word," he could have said, "even if any of them are unbelievers and reject Christ, they may be won, evangelized, won to Christ without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." So we actively evangelize our unsaved husbands by our chaste, our pure and respectful behavior. My husband says, he tells people as in part of his testimony, that when I got saved, God changed me so much that it really got his attention. In fact, one day I said, "Am I acting better?" He said, "Yes, you are." So, and I asked him if he would start going to church with me. And he wanted to put me in a psych hospital is what he wanted to do. And I should have been in one. And I said, "If I don't get better, I will go see a psychiatrist like you want me to." So he started going to church with me. And then about a year later, he got saved. So this is... we can make appeals, but I realized, see, I didn't even know enough to know as a new believer that somebody could profess to be a Christian and not really be a Christian. I didn't understand that. But where I live in the deep south of the United States, everybody thinks they're born again, just about. Or at least they used to. So the wife, we can't declare our husbands unbelievers unless they're just patently rejecting Christ. But we can be suspicious of that. And we are to be submissive even if our husband is not a Christian. We've got to repent of any idols in our heart that we may have our heart set on having the perfect Christian family, the perfect children. And don't ever say, "Oh, my child would never do what her child did. He'll probably do something worse." My son David, he says, "Mom, you still don't know what all we did." I said, "I don't even want to know at this stage of the game." So we can concentrate on our chaste and respectful behavior. And in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, "If necessary, let the unbeliever depart." Not because she drove him crazy and ran him off, but because of her godliness, and he doesn't want to be married to her because she has become a Christian. 1 Corinthians 7. Be ready always. Peter said, be ready to give an account of the hope that is in you. But it's very common for unbelieving husbands to have questions. Well, what does the Bible say about such and such? Or what does your pastor say about, or your church say about such and such? Be ready to answer their questions. If you don't know, say, I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back with you. Be gracious to him and his friends. And if they want you to go party and get drunk with them, the answer is no. That's not something I can do. But hey, I can go bowling. If you know how to go bowling, you can offer to do something else with them, not be a stick in the mud. All right, and then a submissive wife does not dishonor the word of God. And that's what it says in Titus 2, that the older women are to teach the younger women, and it gives a list of 7 mandates. And the point being, Paul wrote, so that the word of God may not be dishonored. So to dishonor means to bring shame upon a disgrace. And being submissive is in Colossians 3. There's 4 places in the New Testament that tells that a wife is to be submissive to her husband. And a submissive wife honors the word of God when obeying God is more important to her than having her way. Romans 12 talks about us being a living sacrifice. And I look at obeying my husband when it's not what I would prefer to do as being sacrificing what I want for what he would want, what God would want. A wife would have an appropriate fear of the Lord, and she's letting the word of Christ, Colossians 3, verse 16, richly dwell within her. And her life is not an affront to the picture in Ephesians 5 of the church being submissive to Christ. And we are submissive whether we feel like it or not. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And sometimes we're providentially hindered. I mean, if we get sick, we're providentially hindered. If my husband wants me to, he's at work, he wants me to run an errand for him, and I go out and get in the car and I have a flat tire, I've been providentially hindered. But otherwise, we need to try to obey. And if we can't, then we need to explain to our husband what happened there. I heard about a wife who she works and her husband does too. And he told her one day, he said, we are running a little tight on money, so don't spend any more money right now. And she said, it's my money. And I will do what I want to. Well, oh my word, that marriage is falling apart. And she's not even being wise. Much less, she's not a Christian. They don't know the Lord. So they need help. A wise wife will seek training and counseling on submission from a godly older woman. I would seek recommendations from my church leaders. The older women need to be doctrinally mature, because that could be good news or bad news. I mean, if the older woman takes up an offense for the younger woman, they're not going to give her solid counsel. And you always have to remember, if you're only hearing one side of the story, you haven't heard the other side. And it could be paint a completely different picture if you could hear what the husband, what his version of it is. And I've told many wives, I believe you, what you're telling me, but the Lord wants you to start with getting the beam out of your own eye, and that's where we need to start. The younger woman should receive instruction graciously. I gave a list, I'll run through it real quickly, of specific ways that wives are not submissive. If she does things that she knows annoys her husband and she does it anyway, if she does not discipline the children as she should, if she's more loyal to others than to her husband, sometimes it's more loyal to her mother than her husband. And then when a wife wants her own way, she may argue or give him the cold shoulder. She's going to punish him if she doesn't get her way. If she does not stay within the limits of their budget, if she corrects, interrupts, or talks for her husband and is too outspoken when others are around. I knew a lady, an older lady, and her husband one time at the church we were in, and her husband, he would say things that were pretty outrageous sometimes. And she would just stand there quietly. And finally, privately, I asked her, I said, does it bother you when your husband says outrageous things? And she said, yes, but I just pray and say, Lord, if this is from you, then thank you, and if it's not, I just trust that you will take care of it. So I'm like, well, la-di-da. I think I would tell my husband, which maybe not in front of the group, but afterwards, what you just said is not true, or, you know, whatever. But anyway, if a woman manipulates her husband to get her own way, she is not being submissive. If she makes decisions without consulting him. My husband was an air traffic controller. I couldn't, if a decision had to be made, like right then, I couldn't call him on the phone. He was busy. So I would try to make a decision based on what I thought he would have decided. And when he got home, I would say, this came up unexpectedly, and I had to make a decision right then. This is what I thought you would have done. And at least if that wasn't what he would have done, he appreciated the fact that I thought about him when I was trying to make the decision. If she directly defies his wishes, she's not being submissive. If she worries about the decisions that he makes. One time I answered the phone at the Atlanta Biblical Counseling Center when I was working with Lou Priolo, and some lady, you know, woman was on the phone. I did not know her, she did not know me, but she was crying. And she had looked us up in the phone book, and she said, my husband says it's God's will for us to have a new truck or car or something that he wanted. She said, we cannot afford it. We would not be able to pay for it. And he can't get the loan without my signature. And he's pressuring me to sign this piece of paper so he can get his new car. And I said, well, can you afford to pay for it yourself? If he doesn't pay for it. She said, no. And I said, well, then you can't sign the paper, because it would be a sin for you to commit to pay back something that you know good and well you can't afford to pay. And so she stopped crying. She said, thank you, bye. She hung up. She does not pay attention to what he says. She doesn't pay attention or acknowledge her husband. So let me just summarize. Submission is a way of responding to another person. You can respond with tenderness and gentleness, or you can respond with harshness and irritation. But this is God's heart for us, to be submissive and to be wise and to try to help our husbands when we can. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have laid out a clear path and a clear idea for us as wives, and how we are to love our husbands and be biblically respectful to them and be biblically submissive to them. And help us to honor you by obeying our husbands. And help our husbands to be the godly men that you want them to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.